Sugar farmers in Cambodia claim that a European Free Trade Initiative designed to help boost the Cambodian economy has instead forced them off their land. The elimination of European tariffs on Cambodian sugar has led to a land grab by international sugar producers. Now, some European lawmakers are trying to have the policy reversed, and the farmers themselves are suing Britain's largest sugar company in London's High Court. Peter Hadfield has more.
At a village hall in the south of Cambodia, people gather to talk about their grievances. A lack of food, no money, and few jobs. It's a familiar story for a developing country like Cambodia. But this story is different. Just a few years ago, these people were prosperous farmers in the province of Koh Kong. They could feed themselves, take care of medical expenses, and send their children to school. They were forced off their land and into a life of poverty, they say, because of a controversial European Union directive that was designed to help them. To get back to his old farm, 59-year-old Sain Khan has to sneak through the brush and up to a dirt road that fringes waving fields of yellowing sugarcane. Every time I come here, I see the land where I used to plant rice, says Sain Khan. I feel very upset that they took my land to grow sugarcane. Also upset is Cecilia Wilkstrom, a member of the European Parliament who addressed the issue at a parliamentary sitting in Strasbourg.
EU's programme Everything But Arms.
The European Union's Everything But Arms programme is essentially a good initiative, but in reality it's had some very negative effects.
The Everything But Arms programme was designed to help the Cambodian economy by abolishing EU tariffs on sugar. The intention was to promote Cambodia's sugar industry, creating jobs and raising living standards. The unintended consequence was that the Cambodian government began leasing land to foreign sugar companies and evicting farmers who had lived there for generations. Farmers like Yon Lee, whose fields were next to Sain Khan's.
Now she broke up with her family. Her children go to Thailand to seeking a job, and she lost everything, farm, land, and even livestock.
And when she comes back and looks at the life she used to have, how does she feel?
She said that when she came to this location again, she feels really painful, she wants to cry, because she's missing everything in the past.
These weren't insubstantial farms. Each covered several hectares. The problem is that during the turbulent years of the Khmer Rouge, all land title was abolished, and even today, most of Cambodia's farmland is nominally controlled by the government.
These aren't subsistence farmers. These are people who have actually been able to make quite a good living growing food crops for the local market.
David Pred is founder of the non-government organization Inclusive Development International, based in Phnom Penh.
What these companies have done is they've moved in, they've taken people's land that they were using to grow food, and they're growing, you know, this cash crop that goes into products like Coke and Pepsi and chocolate, which we know is rotten for us.
The charity group Oxfam has mounted a campaign against the grabbing of land by sugar planters. In this advertisement, cans of soft drinks suddenly turn to dirt.
The companies that supply your favorite food brands with sugar may be kicking poor farmers off their land. Tell Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and Associated British Foods to make sure their sugar doesn't lead to land grabs.
Oxfam launched a petition that gained over 200,000 signatures. In November, Coca-Cola succumbed to the pressure and announced that it would not use sugar from forcibly appropriated land in Cambodia or anywhere else. Now pressure is on other companies to follow suit. David Pred says after the forcible evictions, nearly all the sugar from the newly developed Koh Kong plantations was bought by one of Europe's largest sugar companies, Tate & Lyle.
They've imported three major shipments of sugar from Cambodian plantations that have been grabbed from poor farmers.
The controversy led the International Fair Trade Association, Bonsucro, to suspend Tait and Lyle from membership, and some European lawmakers are looking critically at the EU's everything but arms policy.
Now, when I have come here and found out how this programme is working in reality on the ground.
Sweden's Cecilia Wikström is one of the few members of the European Parliament to have visited Koh Kong to see what's happening firsthand. She calls the European policy shameful and is now campaigning to suspend Cambodian sugar from the Everything But Arms programme. But getting the EU policy reversed may be a lengthy process. In the meantime, the farmers themselves are taking action. After failing to regain title to their land through the Cambodian legal system, 400 farming families are now suing Tait and Lyle in London's High Court, claiming that the sugar it bought was grown illegally. And it was Sain Khan himself, the wiry farmer from Koh Kong, who went to London to file the lawsuit on behalf of his community. The case will be heard in October.
Last, he have a final request for the EU government or EU people that consume all the sugar products from Tait and Lyle that import from the Cambodia. We wish that the European Union and all the consumer in Europe try to put pressure to Cambodian government in order to provide our land back, compensate our land, and then we can live like before.
The Everything But Arms initiative has produced jobs in the sugar industry. The irony is that many of these jobs are filled by the former farmers. They labour during harvest time for $2 a day in the sugar plantations on the land they once farmed. Peter Hadfield, DW, Koh Kong Province, Cambodia.